Blog Talk Radio.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
This is Sean Haynes. You are now tuned in to the Hilltop Radio Show. Love is love.
Yes, indeed, baby. You are now tuned in to DJ Shine on the HILL Top Radio Show. Well, there he is. Hilltop, brother.
Shut your mouth.
What? I was only talking about the baddest radio station on the land, you hear me?
Oh.
Well, what that is?
Hilltop, Hilltop. Hilltop Radio. Hilltop Radio. Hilltop Radio. Hilltop Radio. Show.
All right, I'm going to welcome everybody to another exciting Monday night. Hilltop Radio Show is in the house. It's your boy DJ Sean along with my girl Robin Lynn Maven, Buzz Live Radio. I am streaming out there in Seattle, Washington. Did you have to go get your ice bath? Did you have to get the cold water today? Y'all hit three digits out there, didn't you?
Yeah, we still in triple digits at 6 o'clock tonight. It's 102 degrees, and I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it.
Damn. Well, you're going to be feeling it tonight because we got an exciting show tonight. We got the multi-platinum Grammy-nominated saxophonist and flutist, the one and only Najee. You had a chance to meet him last week up there in Seattle before, I guess he brought the heat to, to Seattle. That's the reason why y'all in them triple digits, them damn showdown shows.
He was still hot. They still talking about Najee up in Seattle, okay?
And then following that, we got our Uncle Roy is back with us. And we got a special guest along with him. We're going to be talking about, how they still trying to tarnish, his brother Rick James's image. We're going to be talking about that along with the one that knows him best, has been around him his whole life. That's his brother manager, Roy Johnson. And we got a special guest coming on with Roy, their accountant. Their accountant is going to be coming on as well tonight. Just some things that these documentary shows that have done stuff on Rick, they're always doing the negative stuff. Rick's always, sex and crime and drugs and stuff. They don't tell about the good things that he's done for the industry, like black artists getting a chance to be on MTV. He did that. He made that movement so that Michael Jackson was the first to be on MTV. Not because of Michael Jackson was who he was, because of Rick James doing what he did, toward, the executives over there at MTV. We'll get in that. We'll talk about that tonight as well. And then we got an exciting show. I want to make sure that everybody is tuned in. Make sure if you put your stuff down, go ahead and get your sippy cups and your edibles and your Lunchables and stuff like that, because we got a big-ass show for everybody tonight. What's up, DJ Debo is in the house. What up, man?
Hi, Debo.
I'm sorry, his twin brother, GQ. What up, man? I'm sorry, man.
How you doing?
You know who
he
meant. Y'all speak up.
How y'all doing?
Doing good, man. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah, man. How did your How'd your gig go over the weekend, man? Did you rock the house?
Oh, you know I did, Sean. You know I did. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, man, you know, it's an exciting show, man. We got more exciting artists to come in for the month of July. Every fourth Monday starting in July, we're going to be bringing you guys the show called, you know, Listening Party Live, where we're going to be bringing on you know, old school artists, whether they're hip hop, funk, R&B, and then we're going to be inviting VIP only by me, artists to come on and showcase their talents. We're going to do that once a month, you know, try to get some of these artists signed. And one last thing before I go into a quick song, we are at 201K. We're at 201K on As Hilltop Turns. 201.93K on As Hilltop Turns. The website, thehilltopradioshow.org. Go over there and check it out, y'all. We got, you know, 24/7 streaming. I'm gonna start adding more music up there, different genres, Southern Soul, Blues, Zydeco, Soul, old school hip hop. Not old school hip hop. Indie artists live show in the mix and some other things. So that's coming soon. So, and Robin, where the hell are we broadcasting tonight at?
All right, we are on Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, CastBox, Deezer, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, and JioSaavn. And then we are also being heard over on OK in Russia, VK in Germany, Twitch, DLive, Periscope, and Mixcloud, and Facebook. We are everywhere.
It's like that, and that's the way it is. DJ GQ, let everybody know when your gospel show is and how can they tune into it.
You tune in at 4 o'clock every Sunday up on the Harold Thompson on Facebook. Tune on in. We have a good show every Sunday.
All right. We'll be right back with Christopher Cross here on a Monday. This is our Monday throwback song, Christopher Cross, Sailing. We'll be right back. Hilltop Radio Show, y'all, with Najee. Thank you. All right, all right. Let's get Mr. Najee over here.
Hello?
Mr. Najee, yes. Welcome to the show, man. Too sweet to be sour.
DJ.
What's up, man?
Say again. Oh, man, you know, I gave you my scenario today, you know, but everything's good, bro. Can't complain.
Okay,
know?
Man, everything's better than when we talked earlier?
Well, it is what it is, my friend, you know.
Okay.
And, right. You know, we don't, you know, obviously we don't need the details right now, but, you know, it is what
it is.
So, I'm good, though. You know, I'm grateful, and it's good to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Well, again, thank you for taking time out of your schedule, man, and being here on the show tonight. Mr. Multi-Platinum.
Yes,
Mr. Multi-Platinum and Grammy nominated. Mr. Najee is in the house. Y'all here on Hilltop Radio Show. Appreciate that. You got a long list of accolades, man. It's a lot to say, but we're going to be getting into that tonight. But first, man, I have a complaint, man.
Uh-oh.
You were out there. You was out there in Seattle. You tore. You made it so hot that they had triple digits of, you know, it's hot out there now, man. You gone. You left the place.
102
degrees now, and I got Miss Robin Lynn on here. She's a little upset with you.
Robin, you upset with me? Oh my God!
Yeah,
no.
You turned up the heat and then you left the heat. You're supposed to take the heat with you, Najee.
I'm sorry, Najee. You know, where I live in Florida, we got enough heat down there, so we thought we shared love and leave it on your up your way, man.
Yeah,
you know?
But you have to remnant because it's up in here today. Okay, ain't never been over 100 degrees up in Seattle ever. I was like, oh, this.
I know. I heard. Man, and so the snow caps are melting up there. Man.
Yeah, man, you got
snow caps. The mountains is green. I didn't know it was trees on the mountains. I never knew that.
Well, let's hope it doesn't last too long. Thank God for seasons, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it's so hot. Yeah, it's so hot. Sasquatch done shaved his head. Sasquatch running around with a bald head.
Oh, I hear you. Hey, I'm sorry for that Amtrak train going by, man, but I'm here Oakland in an area called Jack London Square, and they have a Amtrak station. Amtrak train comes right through this tourist area, which is interesting, you know. So,
Well, it don't matter, man. As long as you're on here, that's all that matters tonight, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, you spent, you know, a long time still doing it. Now you got a big tour coming up, man. How excited are you about your tour, man? Because I know, you know, with the pandemic, everybody was shut down and everything. Now you know, starting to open back up, man. How you feel about that?
You know, I'm grateful. I'm glad we're not doing a whole lot of, you know, in comparison to what our normal tour activities would be, but, what we are doing has been great. I mean, as Robin will tell you, in Seattle, we had sold-out shows all week. So that was a lot of fun. And we did a few festivals in Mexico and Florida and Vegas, you know. So we're grateful to be back, man. And next week we're in the D.C. area, Maryland, Virginia area, with the DMV, as they say.
Everything's good,
man.
Oh,
is that where you're from? Okay.
Yeah, I know you're going to tear it up. Yeah, I'm originally from Maryland, I'm down here in Charlotte. I know you're going to tear it up, but I'll have the opportunity, myself and DJ GQ, he's on the line with us as well. We're going to be traveling down to South Carolina and get a chance September the 4th in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
And get to be in the house so you could bring some damn heat to South Carolina when you leave. To the Carolinas. And then, you know, you got Dallas, Texas, South Carolina. Then you got Atlanta. Then you got Alexandria, Virginia. Then you got Denver, Colorado. Chicago, Illinois. And then you back up in Delaware where DJ Debo is going to be He's on here as well. DJ Debo is part of the Hilltop. He's from out of Delaware. He's going to come and, you know, interview you while you're in Delaware and have a good time, man. I know some people that are in the Maryland, that are in that Delmarva Peninsula. They've been hitting me up when I posted your information that they're going to be going to that concert when you're in Delaware. So that's going to be a big thing up there in Delaware, man. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, man. Sir. So it's exciting, Najee, man. Go ahead, Robin.
I was going to say, Najee got other people claiming DJ Sean and claiming the responsibility. Okay.
Hey, wait. You know, it's all good, man. It's all good. So, yeah.
So
absolutely.
Go ahead, DJ Debo's on the line with us. He's the one from Delaware. Go ahead, Debo.
I could tell you this. My wife worked for Christiana Care, a nursing in Christiana Care.
Okay.
And everyone in the nursing department that she works with is talking about their coming to that concert. And that's well over 60.
Oh, man, that's nice. That's great, man. Well, we're excited, man. I think Robin will testify. We got a really great show. You know, we got three great smooth jazz artists that are charting very well on Billboard. And and I tell you, man, they bring their A game. They leave it all up to fate, you know? So.
Yeah, Nate. Yeah, we got a chance to have Nate, you know, Nate Mitchell on here in another
Mitchell,
week.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
I have a special guest on here for you as well, Najee, the one and only Roy. We call him Uncle Roy Johnson here.
All right.
What's up, Uncle Roy?
What's up, guys?
What up, Uncle Roy?
Hey, Najee. Don't you start.
What's going on, Uncle Roy? See, I didn't know you was known as that, man. I'm going to start calling you that, my friend.
Oh, no, please don't.
Uncle Roy, there you go. I love it. I love it.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. Yeah, I got some files for you as soon as I get back home, man. I'm out here on the West Coast at the moment, so.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Robin. Robin, go ahead and ask Mr. Najee some questions, and we'll keep it moving.
Najee, welcome to the Hilltop Radio Show. Man, I
Thank
am
you.
Still enjoying myself from that concert. I should have got up on that stage with y'all. I really should have.
You know what? You know what? We would have loved it. We would have loved it, man. We'd have really blew the roof off then. You know what I'm saying?
Now, Najee, she'd tell you the truth. She'd be jumping out of cakes butt naked and everything, man. So
it's a good thing
she didn't.
Yeah,
that would have been a memorable show, that's for sure.
That's probably why the maitre d' sat me all the way in the back. So I asked him, I says, I'm not the special guest. He says, okay, and he sat me all the way.
Really?
Said, this is where
I'm
you
so
see Najee's special guest. I said, I'm going to tell, but then I forgot to tell on him. I got so excited with the show.
Okay.
But
well, hopefully you felt this all the way back here.
Let me tell you, I wasn't even mad. We had a great dinner. The show was great. It was just awesome. So I'd do it all over again. And actually, the table that he gave me was actually perfect because I put my tripod up and we were able to get some nice photos of y'all.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You got to send them to me. You got to send me a few, you know, so we can post them.
Oh,
you know?
I sure will. Yes, I sure will. Yes. So let me ask you, how does it feel to be back to work touring after the pandemic?
It feels great. It feels great. You know, it's good to see people out, man. You know, I mean, we all will agree it was a strange, strange year. I got to say that the reset was good for me to be able to stay home for a year because, you know, I haven't been off the road in like 37 years, you know. So for me, it was like, okay, you know, now you're forced. You can't go anywhere. And it was kind of nice because I actually went into places in my house. I forgot that I need to go in there from time to time to see what's in those closets and stuff and actually try and clothes you know you're never going to wear. You know how it is, Robin, right? You hold on to these clothes as you say, you know, one day I'm going to get back in these things. it never happens. So I had to set up my little Goodwill boxes to go away. I mean, you know, so a lot of good things happen. You know, I have a 17-year-old at home, you know, so it was good to be around him because he's right in the prime age of you know, being a boy, you know, at 17. So, you know, so there were a lot of benefits, even on the downside of this, you know what I mean? So.
Do you have plans to go overseas?
We do. We had a few offers. We had to postpone every one of them for now because things are still a little too fragile over there. We had one offer to go to South Africa. We postponed that.
Wow.
We had one to go to the UK. We postponed that. As a matter of fact, I was in the UK when this thing came down, and you know, over there promoting the record, the current record I have out, Center of the Heart, and had to cut the trip short, man. You know, so as of right now, everything is in a holding pattern until we get a little more indication that things are opening up a little better there. You know, which they are slowly. So.
Okay. Do you,
yes.
Najee, do you ever do those jazz cruises? Have you ever?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've done a lot of them. I've done 2 years ago. I was on which one was that? The Smooth Jazz Cruise, you know, out at sea.
Mm-hmm.
I've done the Capital Jazz a few times. I've done, what's my name?
Tom Joyner.
Tom Joyner. You know, I've done his, yes.
Okay.
So I've done all of those cruises, yeah. Yeah, do them occasionally.
All
every
right.
other year or so we do one, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you again so much, man. Your show was hot. He blew a note on that horn. I swear it was like 5 minutes, okay? He got great breath control, y'all. Great breath control. And everybody screaming, thank you, Nadia.
You know, thank you, Robin. You know, the goal is to connect with the audience and make it an experience, you know, so that they come back and see us another time, you know.
Yeah,
right.
They had people
yeah.
dancing and singing. I mean, and the whole time they was on their feet. Okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
Right.
It was fun. It was truly fun.
DJ Debo, you want to ask a question?
I'm just listening because I am such a fan. All the way going back.
Oh, man, I'm honored,
know.
My friend.
All the way
oh,
back to
Lord,
didn't
yeah.
know. Matter of fact, on my way to work, I was banging it today.
Wow, man. Well, thank you so much, my friend. We really appreciate
I can't wait to meet you.
Oh, same here. So you're coming down to South Carolina, right? That's where we'll meet you? Yeah.
No,
Is that the Low Country Jazz Festival?
I think so.
The one in South Carolina?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not for sure in Charleston. I think that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Low Country, I think. Yeah.
DJ Debo, he's in Delaware. He's going
to. Oh,
about,
okay. So he's coming down to Maryland.
He's about 7
foot. Oh, Rehoboth.
Foot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's about 7 foot tall. Now I'm just playing.
I'll make sure we have a great, wonderful interview.
Hey,
sure
you know,
we will.
Well, I love to eat, so.
Hey,
love to eat, my
food.
Friend. So I appreciate you.
Good food, guys.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Not a problem.
Najee, do you think jazz, you know, back in the day, when I say back in the day, back in the 80s when your Soul Train, your Grammys, you know, when they did their award show, they had, you know, jazz and, you know, gospel, you know, old school, the R&B 80s, 70s and 80s. Do you think the traditional, these award shows have got away from the traditional way of doing things when, you know, now, since we're in a new millennium, do you think, does that take away from you guys and what you're doing? You know, you guys are still doing your thing, you know, still setting, you know, setting records with y'all's music and things like that. Do you think they're taking away from that? It's all corporate.
it's always been corporate. Even back when I was, you know, when we were getting more attention as jazz artists. But the culture of the music and how it's marketed has changed tremendously, starting way back in the 90s with Napster, when they started giving away music for free, you know. And since that time, we've seen the digital technology with streaming and those kind of things came along, iTunes and all these other outlets, which changed the retail game, you know, where you couldn't buy CDs anymore, you know. You know, at retailers, you had to buy everything online or buy them from the artist. And now, so now the platform of engagement is not really record sales. It's really engagements on social media. So, you know, and that's how the commerce is generated in the industry now. You know, it's based on how many likes you get on Instagram and Facebook and so on and so forth, you know. So I think it has taken away from us. I think they also have neglected to give credit to a true American art form, which is jazz, you know. So, and some of us have had to fight the Grammys on making sure that we are still have at least a place in there, even though we don't get the television time, that at least we still have a slot to be nominated for Grammys and those things, you know.
Wow. It's kind of...
I know that was a, big...
No, you're telling the truth. That's kind of like a big slap in you guys' faces, you know, because, like you said, jazz has been around for a long time, and you had a lot of blues artists, you know, that does jazz, you know, it takes from their craft as well. And especially yourself, because you've been in the game for a long time, 37 years, that's a long time, and you know what I mean? And now you have to, you know, get, you know, Instagram and YouTube numbers up and stuff, streaming and stuff now where, like you said,
yes, sir,
be a time of day where you could go into the local record store and buy the album or the single or the CD and stuff like that. It's kind of hard, especially when you have fans that are, you know, in their 60s and 70s. They don't know how to really go stream a song now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're right.
That's taking credit, you know, away from, you know, another gold album, another platinum album as well, you know, to add to your, you know, your trophy case and everything. Uncle Roy, anything you want to ask Mr. Najee there, sir?
Well, I'm just listening right now. Najee, it's your show, so. Najee and I just recently started talking, although I've got a long, long relationship with his band members. And Najee is super popular in Buffalo. It's almost like he owns Buffalo.
No, I can't say I have to say that the band members helped create that popularity because as you know, Roy, I took some very talented young men from up there who, when I met them, they were actually kids, you know, and now they've been, in the case of Daniel Powell, he's been with me over 10 years now, you know, and I watched him grow up. Also, young keyboard player Rod Bonner, you know, when I met him, he was something like 16 years old, you know, and I hired him when he was 18, and he stayed with me for well over 10, 11 years and watched him grow up, you know, graduate college the whole bit, you know, and then there was another young gentleman up there, Will Holton, saxophonist, you know, who actually my whole association with Buffalo on that level really began with him, you know.
Okay.
He was a young kid. He just was just getting in the game, and, you know, we became friends, and then, you know, from there we just developed business ventures together up there, and it just ended up being now people know me, you know.
Well, I've used a number of your band members, actually, before you used them. Like Danny and I have worked together, and Rod on projects, and, I mean, they are just tremendous to work with, you know. And you got
they are great people, great human beings, great musicians.
Najee, you know, so when I might mention that Najee and I are working on a project with Loose Ends together, and, you know, I just heard without even thinking about it, when I heard Loose Ends music, I said, look, you need a horn. The only horn player I can think of is Najee. You know?
Yeah, man. And you know, it's so funny. I finished it and haven't sent it to you. I know I sent you the first draft of it. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I love the song, and, you know, it sounds great, you know.
Oh, it's going to be a hit. I mean, the two of you together.
Yes, sir.
You know, it'll be exciting. I mean, just, people don't even have to hear the music. All they, Najee and Loose Ends together, bring it.
Yeah, that's
going to
be another,
oh, yeah.
You know, be another sold-out concert. Another sold-out
concert. Hey, I hope we can make that happen, you know.
Yeah.
I know we used to work over in the UK together back in the day, you know.
So I just wanted to add a little bit of a flavor that he's got some great people around him. Had some great Kenny Hawkins talks extremely well about you.
Oh, I love Kenny, man. He's one of my favorite people, you know. Yeah, he every Christmas he sends me a beautiful text every Father's Day, you know, and you know, so we keep in touch, you know, fairly regularly throughout the year, you know.
Well, he made it easy for me to get in touch with you. All I had to do is
drop that. That's good.
Yeah. So you'll hear things from us. So that's basically all I need to say about Dustin Najee. You know, he's
yes, sir.
Fortune
Spider. Well, I went back in the day, Najee. I got this song from you. I think this is from your first ever album that started you on your way to the being one of the biggest smooth jazz musicians in the world. We'll be right back with Najee, y'all, here on the Hilltop Radio Show. That's Tokyo Blue, which won a Soul Train Award,
yeah.
And you were nominated for Best Jazz Artist in 91 and 93 that same year. And that song was produced by your brother, right?
That's correct, my brother Fareed, and you're right. I apologize if it sounds a little noisy in here. But yes, sir, we had great success with that, you know. I can't go anywhere around the world and not play something from Tokyo Blue, you know.
That's right. How does it feel when you go somewhere, or you know, when you're listening to the radio and your music comes on? How does it make you feel as an artist, you know, hearing your music, you know, something they played from back in the day or something current?
You know, it's still new to me in that way, because I'm just very grateful that I get to do that which I would have done for free, you know what I mean? As a kid. So
yeah.
I mean, so I'm very blessed, you know.
Because you work with Stevie Wonder and, you know, Quincy Jones and Herbie Hancock and Denise Williams and Sheila E., Chaka Khan. How was it working with Chaka Khan?
It was great, man. I was a kid. My brother and I both played in our band on the Ain't Nobody tour. And, I mean, you know, we were standing there every night like, we can't believe we're here with her. You know, we used to listen to her records with Rufus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the reason...
Now go ahead, Najee. I'm
she,
sorry.
Does she what? I'm sorry.
Now, does she have a big hairdo then? Does she have a big hairdo then?
You know, and the Pebbles and Bam Bam outfit. You remember all that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Well, Najee, man, I know you're, you got things to do. I told you I wasn't going to hold you on long, and I appreciate, you know, the
time. Oh, I don't mind. Man, it's good to talk to y'all, you know?
Yeah, you know, I just, you know.
Yeah, don't mind at all.
Okay. Well, Najee, where can people follow you at? Your website. Give people your website so they can go on there and check out your, you know, your accolades and, you know, things you've accomplished in the jazz world.
Yes, sir. Well, it's NajeeOfficial.com. I hope you can hear me here. It's NajeeOfficial.com, and it's NajeeOfficial at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So you can go to any of those and see what I'm doing, you know?
And your latest album is called what again, Center of the Heart?
Center of the Heart, yes. It's been out for a year and a half. I'm actually working on a new record as we speak, but it's doing very well and still doing very well. So.
Well, Najee, we're going to bring you back once Loose Ends drops the album that you're going to be on. We want to bring you back on with Carl. You know, we're going to have him live from the UK, and you know, Uncle Roy, you know, on, and a couple other people that are involved in that project. And we would like to bring you back when that happens, if you're free.
Yeah, I love that, Uncle Roy. I look forward to that.
I'm like a kid in the candy store.
Yes, sir.
How I want to hear that from you, Najee. Don't go there. Hey, look, you know, Uncle Roy and I have never met, but I tell you, when I talk to him on the phone, I feel like so I have, you know.
That's right. Because
calls me Uncle Roy, and money comes next. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I call him Mr. Johnson.
Because he called me, he said, Sean. I said, yes, sir. Don't we got somebody up there in Seattle? I said, yes, sir. He said, you know, Najee's going to be up there and make it happen. So we made it happen. So, you know, when uncle calls, you know, family, you got to stop what you're doing and make sure stuff is done. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Hey, man, that's OG right there. That's OG, man.
You know, Christmas is coming. You know, you got to keep them stockings. You want them stockings full.
There you go. That's right. That's right, my friend. There you go. Well, it's so good to talk to all of you, and look forward to seeing you hopefully soon. You know, and hopefully this thing starts to wind down a little bit, we'll maybe break bread or something, you know.
Yes, sir. We're going to break bread. Yeah, we're going to have some fun. Yeah. And again, blessings to you and your family. And again, Najee, thank you for taking time out of your schedule, man, and for coming on the show with us, man, here on Hilltop Radio Show, man.
Thank you so much for having me, and look forward to next time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Be blessed,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Have a good week.
Y'all be blessed. All right.
All right.
Take care.
Bye, Najee.
Thank you. Bye-bye, sweetie. Be well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, you guys. We'll be right back after this quick song.
Time to get a whole new perspective on Ram trucks, because to us there are no small jobs, no little tasks, and when it comes to innovation there are no modest ideals. No wonder why more people are switching to Ram than ever before. Ram trucks, back-to-back Motor Trend truck of the year.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Hilltop Radio Show. I want to thank everybody that's tuned in. I want to thank everybody that's online listening. And Robin, where is the show being broadcast out again for the people that are listening?
Yeah, goodness. Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire Stick, live on Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. We're over in Russia on OK. We're over in Germany on VK. Facebook, Twitter, everywhere. Did I say Spotify? Goodness.
Oh, yeah. Also, you guys can go over there to DJ Sean Live 24/7. We're on there as well as Hilltop Turns. And right now we're at 202.5K listeners right
wow.
now. So shouts out to people that are really tuning in. And then before the show's over, we got a special announcement with the help of Uncle Roy. I gotta keep that Lee out. Uncle Roy on something that we're putting together and getting ready to do the final touches and get ready to launch it probably in a couple of months before the show's over with. So I'm gonna go ahead and call Mr. Romer on here. Mr. Johnson, and then we can get this started.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hello.
Dicky Baby.
Hi, Roy.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Don't say anything that you don't want spread throughout the planet. Because you're on radio, okay? All right, guys.
Welcome to the show, sir. Pleased to have you.
Thank you.
Part of the show.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
A little background on why I asked Dickie to come on here. Dick Romer is Dick was the accountant for our organization during the entire period of from early '80s straight through into the '90s. And if there's any question related to finances or who was part of the organization, who was running things or anything like that, I mean, Dickie was the accountant, and Dickie was involved in all the meetings, all the management meetings, and used to carry suitcases full of money back from the tour. So that as a brief preface, and he was one of the main people on the tour, because we relied on the numbers that he was involved in pre-tour and litigation, everything that we did. So he's very aware of everything. And he's one of the people, if you want to talk about someone who best knew Rick or the organization, he's right in there.
Oh, okay. Well, we're here, part two of the show. You know, just recently, Rick, another... I don't think you want to call it a documentary, was done on, you know, on your brother, Roy, again. And it was brought up in, again, another negative, derogatory way, you know, portraying Rick as a drug, you might as well say a drug user, drug dealer, and a sex, orgies and so forth and so on, all the time. But they forget to leave out the good things that Rick done was slamming MTV to get blacks, on their program, and it's finally, and they finally did that, not playing Rick at all, but they started out with Michael Jackson after his campaign to, get the black artists on TV as well too. So, Leroy, you're his brother and manager. You've been with him the longest. Why is it that they're portraying, this recent documentaries still trying to tarnish and might as well say throw mud and dirt in Rick's face? After all these years, I mean, he's been gone 16 years. Why do they still continue on trying to hurt his image and the family's image?
Well, it's a very simple proposition, and that is money. It's very simple that drugs and rock and roll and crime, that means money. The truth does not mean money. Exaggeration, delusion, fantasy, all those types of things. And repeating what someone has set up as truth and as a narrative that's not true. And that's all that's really happening now, is that every time you see one of these so-called documentaries, all you're seeing is a repeat of something else that was out there that basically was either an exaggeration or a fantasy. I'm not saying, let's be clear, that Rick did a lot of things. There's no question that Rick used drugs, no question about it. But I ask you this question. If you're out on the road for 6 months and you're recording during that same time for six months, you're doing major shows, major TV shows, radio, and you're running an organization of almost 70 to 100 people, how drugged out could you be?
You won't really have time to be drugged out to, you know, be. You won't have time.
I have Dick on here too. You know, we toured for years, and just about every tour we had was a very successful. I don't recall being out there a bad tour. You know, if it was going to be bad, we analyzed it before we even went out and didn't go out. But we didn't have any of those. So some of the questions can be answered by our accountant. There's so many innuendos that have been made in some of these documentaries that checks bounced, that they weren't making a whole lot of money, that they weren't treated well financially. I'll let Dick answer a couple of those questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
Dick,
I mean,
again, Dick, welcome to the show. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule.
Thank you.
And being a part of this. What is your take?
Well, I mean, I know for a fact that we never lost any money on tour. Before we would ever go on stage, we got paid our money. And the way these deals work, as you probably know, is they worked on a guarantee against an 85% split. So if there was a profit, which there generally was, we would get 85% of the profit against the guarantee. On an average, the tours grossed about $250,000 a week. That's on an average. You know, on a stadium date, it'd be way more. On a 10 or 15,000 seater, it'd be $25,000 or $50,000. And this was four to 5 days a week. So there was no question that financially they never lost money on any tour, because we did projections on what our fixed costs were before we even started the tour. And that included costumes, and included trucking, and included the buses. You know, he had three buses on an average. So that if anyone published information that he was losing money on a tour, it was false. The only time I can remember, Roy, was before you and I got involved, and that was Garden of Love. That was the only real flop that occurred, and that's why he reorganized his whole team, bringing in new accountants, new lawyers, and Leroy.
So as you can see, well, the situation was quite different when we started. When I started, the amount of money that was being made, and I looked at them, I was like, no, this ain't happening. We're going to take half the gross of these vendors, and then we're going to do that split. So, but before, they were probably making like $7,500 or something like that. No, all of that was changed. All of those people who were involved in those types of things were out the door. We immediately got rid of lawyers, agents, accountants, and everything, and brought our own people in. So, but that's not getting to the issue that I really want to address, which is about like band members, and we had one of the best paid bands out there, period. They received retainers when they weren't even working.
Wow.
And when they left, we had retirement plans for them. Am I right, Dick?
Yes. Yeah, we set up profit sharing plans, and they never contributed. It was all contributed by, you know, by Rick's company.
Wow.
But you don't hear that. You don't hear that. You hear that the checks bounced and that I couldn't afford a house. If you couldn't afford, you're making thousands of dollars a week. It ain't us. It's not us. So you need to look at what you were doing as to why you weren't making enough money to buy a house.
Yeah, managing your finances.
Right, right. Take your out of the bottle and take the cocaine off the table, and then maybe you buy a house.
Hell, if you're getting paid that much money and and you don't know how to shoot. They should have hired you, Dick, to manage their money.
Well, and it would have been a conflict of interest. You know, you can't serve two masters.
As opposed to, you know, when we were on the road, we had 70 people on the road. 70.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was paying out every week. They would get their salary. That was one of the reasons why I was on the road. You know, I loved traveling that much, but the money was so significant that I had to control it. You know, any expense I had to make sure was legitimate. That's the way we operate it.
Mm.
Yeah, very successful.
That discussion is not a discussion that was in any of these documents here. They don't talk about the efficiency of the business and that our family, my mother and my sister and everybody else was involved in the business. They don't talk about that. They don't talk about one of the most efficiently run operations that they were. We had a major corporation.
Because your sister, man, your sister. Go ahead, Robin.
I was just going to say, does anybody even ask you?
No, they don't want to hear that story. All they want to do is get into a conversation with band members in that, direct it into drug, sex, blah, 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 and then cut it, edit it into their narrative, and at the end you have that. Now you know that most recent called Bitchin'. There were good parts of it. There were some good parts of it. No question about it. I really enjoyed listening to Bootsy Collins and Nile Rodgers and Big Kane and Ice Cube. You know, I mean, those guys, they talked about the impact of music.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take it in that other direction, you know, the guys, they actually came to me, the producers came to me, and they asked me to get involved, and I asked them, where are you in this project? And they kind of went around and really told me that they had just begun the project, which I knew wasn't true, because I'm more interested in whatever narrative and what legacy you're really going to leave with my brother, with my involvement, because I'm not giving credibility to any of this unless I control the narrative on it.
Yep.
I'm not doing that because it ends up with what you got. And what you ended up with after listening to all that stuff was Rick sounded like he was the demonic, sadistic sex freak, and all we did was have sex out on the road.
And now, cocaine parties. Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the particularly flat out made some statements that were false. Kerry Gordy indicated that he was with us on the road in 1982. I'm calling that out. That's a lie. I don't care if he's Barry Gordy's son or father. That's a lie. He had nothing to do with our tour. And he knows nothing about any money that was made. And, what he said ended up on the cover of the New York Post. Rick James penis wheeling, whatever, in front of the president of
Motown.
You know, all that is a fabrication. That's a fabrication. I'm calling it out for what it is. That's all it is. You know, it's something that self-aggrandizing for him because he left the indication that he was something in our organization. And Dick, was there Kerry Gordy working with us?
Never. Never. You know, when Rick ran on tour, you know, it was Leroy, myself, and Alan Heyman. Those are the three principals that were on tour. And sometimes, the person that booked the tours would be with us. But he never was out there, ever.
Never. So the implication that he was on tour with us, we made X amount of dollars. I'm like, who is this guy? What is he talking about? But that was a lie. That was a little lie that led to the big lie.
Oh yeah.
On the Post. So you had a lot of that, which to me took away from this whole documentary. You took it from being something that was trying to be real into something that was delusional and fantasy.
It's shame.
I don't like to get involved in those types of things because if I'm not at the editing room and looking at the final product, I'm not going to get involved.
Well, Dick, did the producers from this bitchin', did they come to you and ask you to be a part of the documentary? Well, so-called documentary?
No.
Oh, so they left the realists, the ones that are going to tell the truth, out of the documentary and just went along with the ones that were going to tarnish Rick's image.
Let me say this. They don't even know about Dick. They don't even know about Dick because all they've done is a very surface analysis of Rick. Most of what I saw in that documentary, I call it a so-called documentary, was just a compilation of what's online.
Yeah, and that's what I told you. Yeah,
it's a rehashing of the other one, the Unsung, and behind the scenes, and this and that. Same people telling the same story. The same story about I didn't make any money. You know, my checks bounced, and the other thing is that hearing something about my father beating my mother from somebody who doesn't even know us, that's disturbing.
Yeah,
and Dick, my mother, you know my mother wouldn't tolerate none of that.
No, she's a very strong woman. You know, she raised eight kids. And she's a very strong woman, was a very strong woman.
So, but, I don't, like, I'm griping. I just want to get the truth about what the truth is about about Rick and about things that people were putting out there. Yes, Rick went to jail, but I sent you an article to let you read.
Right.
And what did
you
find in that article? What did you find about the charges?
Yeah, we're gonna get in that in a minute. I'm gonna go to a quick break. Roy and Mr. Dick, we're going to a quick break, play one of Rick's songs, and we'll be right back. Because I read the article and I even called you back and questioned some of the things that I found that was like disturbing to me, and I'm not even in, you know, law. I'm not even a lawyer, but I mean when you're doing things wrong in law, you're supposed to, you know, that person's supposed to either get fired, sit down, or disbarred. I do know that, and that never happened. And it seems like, and you mentioned bitching was supposed to be a documentary, but a documentary, the meaning of a documentary tells the good things and some of the bad things about what a person does. But I'll make sure you guys get the link and watch it. It was disturbing because, you know, his ex-wife said a couple good things. None of the band members said anything good. They were all positive throughout the whole damn movie. I call it a little movie, mini movie, because it wasn't a documentary. The negative. It was just... If you give the film 100%, 85% was all negativity toward Rick and his image, because every band member, including, you know, your brother, it was either drugs coming out their mouth or, you know, sex. He filmed me doing it to a girl and this and that, and I came in and it was a pile of cocaine like Scarface had on his table and things like that. But we're going to get back into the sentencing Rick received and how, you know, they tried to railroad him at the end and everything. We'll be right back. We're going to a quick song. We'll be right back. This is a Hilltop Radio Show, y'all. Here we go.
Time to unwind from a long day. To improve it, stop by Taj Essentials, 3124 Eastway Drive, Charlotte. Taj Essentials offers natural products that are vital to improve your life. So stop by or give them a call at 980-819-7463. Open Monday through Saturday. That's 980-819-7463. Taj Essentials, helping you improve you.
All right, this is the Hilltop Radio Show, the Hilltop Radio Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Also, I want to thank Roy Johnson and Mr. Dick Romer for taking time out of the schedule and joining us here on this special show, latest documentary called Bitchin', where it's portraying another crazy, messy so-called documentary about Rick again and putting his, you know, his career and what he's done in the industry, you know, to shame. And before we go back to Leroy, DJ Devo, anything you want to ask or say?
Yeah,
before we go more?
I didn't see the documentary yet, but I'm actually looking for it right now.
I have to send it to you.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, most of the things that people do when talking about Rick James is that they try to paint him in a bad light. But you know, they try to do that. But those that know. I mean, he was a talented artist. And very, very talented artist, and he was true to life. Rick lived, from my point of view, Rick lived the life that he wanted to live, and he lived it well. You know, so what they say, I know it's hell. They paint me as being a bad person, so I know, you know, what they would do to somebody like that is, you know, so, yeah, sometimes you just gotta, you see things and you just see it for what it is. People are people, and if they can capitalize off of the next man's suffering or the next family suffering, that's usually what they do. That's part of the business,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them. You know,
right.
I mean, it's a business for them. I don't care who they step on, who they stomp on, whose legacy they destroy, as long as that the capital was at the end of the road for them.
All right. Robin, anything you want to say? Oh, go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, I was saying that's well said. I take a lot of it personally because, and I'm sure Dick would also, and we talk about this, is that we ran a ship. We ran a great ship.
Tight ship, is that, as well as from what I've heard. Yeah, tight ship.
And when you say things that directly reflect upon us, I'm glad that you brought us on because you gave us a forum to call them out.
Mm-hmm.
Call them out. I'm going to call the band members out. I'm going to call the producers out. I'll call my brother out who was on there, and I talked to him today. And I said, you don't even understand what you did. You went in, and they asked you a lot of questions, and you said some things, and they cut and sliced, and it ended up with nothing but drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Very careful about these programs, and you're not. You weren't. So you gave credibility to this. I don't give credibility to them because I look at who's involved, and I tell them who I want to be, who I don't want to be involved, because I know where it's coming from. I know where they're coming from.
Anything else you want to add, Dick?
Well, I just want to say that besides some of the interviews, the one thing that they obviously never brought up was, he had a very well-known interview on the Ted Koppel show when he was discussing, what was going on in the industry and, MTV and all the unfairness that was going on. But the other thing that they never said was after Street Songs, after that album came out, Rick renegotiated his contract with Motown, and he got 100% of his royalties. Before that, it was only a 50-50 split. So, just based upon the sales of the album after Street Song, there's no way that, he would have been suffering between the touring and the royalties. So there was just a lot of misinformation and untruths about his financial situation and how well, the members of his crew were paid and how well they were taken care of. And he really cared about them. It wasn't just, these were individuals, most of whom he grew up with, and he cared about them.
Wow. So, go ahead, Debo.
The thing about that is that I can agree to everything that you just said, and the reason why I say I can agree to it, because I've spoken right here on the show with various people that that dealt with Rick, that was managed by Mr. Leroy, and I'm assuming dealt with Mr. Dick as well. And I've listened to the things that these ladies have said as far as their career, in their career with dealing with Mr. Leroy and Rick. My auntie knew Rick. She's from Buffalo. She knew Rick. And she said the same thing before she passed away. Man, he's one of the greatest people that you ever wanted to meet on the planet. If he liked you, he liked you. If he didn't, he didn't. But, so listening to some of the ladies from the Mary Jane Girls speak, listening to some of the things that they were saying during the interviews, all of them that knew him and worked closely with him pretty much said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much said the same thing, and it was nothing, never negative. So I would much rather listen and take their words for it because they were around him, and I knew that they were around him, than these other folk.
So let's do this, Roy, before we go into the court thing. We talked about it this morning, on this draft, him being a draft dodger. Can you and Dick,
let me just
comment on that.
You're supposed to be 18 to go into the service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they put you in with your parents' consent at 17. Rick signed up at 15 and went in at 16 and left out soon. So he went AWOL, and the big thing, okay, Rick went AWOL, but they don't talk about a 16-year-old.
He wasn't supposed to be there in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
That's because the military didn't do a background check.
Yeah. But these guys, these people who are promoting this, they're not saying anything about, okay, Rick was 16 when he went into the service. He was 15 when he signed up.
Wow.
What are we? Viet Cong or something like that? We're using kids?
I guess so. They were really trying to get a lot of bodies for Vietnam. Yeah.
That's about fact check. That's about, because when you talk to people who don't know, you get answers that aren't true. So they really don't want to talk to somebody who knows, because if they had, they would have talked to myself, they would have talked to Dick Romer, and they might have gone over and talked to someone in the law firm of Gross Schumann or one of those places there. Because most of them would have directed them to me or to Dick or somebody. If you want to know finances, you ask Dick. You want to know about the law, you ask me. You ask Les Greenbaum. You ask the people who are involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just throw out there about, you know, about this case and that. And you don't know any facts behind that at all. I can tell you something interesting. That Rick had a lawyer out there, and remember, Dick, we went out there and we argued the bail to reduce the bail?
Yes.
Remember that? You know?
Yes.
Rick wanted to use one of the Los Angeles lawyers, you know, and that was the whole start of this firing of this case, because it started off with people trying to extort money and this, that, and the other, and then it got out of hand, and then we ended up, you know, he ended up with $1 million bail. And had by that time I wasn't with Rick, but then for that one thing we came back and we did the bail hearing and got the bail reduced from $1 million to $100,000. So I mean, there's a lot of little things, that a lot of twists that people don't know that happen in these cases.
It's public records.
They don't know how the case ended.
Mm-mm-mm.
That's something that to you, just, you know, so you can say something. This ain't something I'm dreaming up.
No, because, I mean, you sent me the Los Angeles Times article from 1994. Actually, it was February the 5th, 1994. You know, the judge reduced Rick's, you know, prison term. And also, now I'm not a lawyer or anything like, but you are, Roy. What does gag order mean when a judge puts a gag order on a case?
When he puts these things, nobody can talk about the case in the media. No one's to mention anything about the case in the media.
But the prosecutor.
There's more to that gag order in terms of you're not to discuss any of the details that go on court with anybody else. It depends on what the order says, but ordinarily the order will say no media, no conversations with third parties outside the court.
Mm-hmm.
That gag order
was violated, correct?
That's one part of it. Yes, the gag order was violated. The judge was not very happy about it. But he didn't turn the case over for that. He turned it over for another reason, and you can tell him what that was.
The reason was, the prosecutor Devo.
I was just going to ask the question. When he said prosecutorial misconduct, that means that the prosecution for the state got caught doing something he had no business doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, their investigator, the state's investigator, was said it's in black and white, so it's not like we're making it up, was giving cocaine, drugs to witnesses and things like that. Now, this is the investigator for the state. Prosecutor, and this is the same state prosecutor that violated the gag order on this case as well, too. Correct, Dick and Leroy? Leroy?
Yeah, that's correct. That was correct, yeah. So, but the way it was done, see, yeah, the main witness that the state used was a prison informer, a person from prison. And this person, of course, they always come out with this person who said that you admitted the crime to him. And this is what this investigator was doing. He was come out and say that this person said such and such. And that bolsters the whole case in front of a jury. And when the judge heard that, he said that, well, but he didn't just do it in Rick's case. He did it in 50 to 100 cases.
That's so why when they bring that prosecutorial, when they bring that charge up against the prosecutor, or if he's found in any kind of misconduct, any type of misconduct, they're supposed to, the state is automatically supposed to backlog every case that he was involved with.
And that's what happened.
Go back and revisit all of them.
Exactly. That's what happened. That's why they dismissed the charges, but then they threatened to bring the charges back and bring other charges. And Rick took a plea and just did what he did, time served. And that was
because
it.
One of the serious charges that he had was kidnapping. And the thing was, how can he kidnap this girl and she was going back and forth to the drug house during the said alleged incident of him kidnapping? You know?
But you can find that out by just doing a Google search.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not, if she was able to leave on her own and freely leave and come and go, that's not kidnapping. That wouldn't even be an unlawful imprisonment.
if you're black and going up against a white jury, I hate to say it, don't care about none of that.
Well, you're right, because you know, just going back to the whole conversation, it's Rick James. You know, the image that the media has portrayed him as, he's the bad boy. So, you know, as a bad boy, we got to treat him accordingly. And unfortunately, I can attest to that and speak on my own personal situations, because when I was growing up, I was a cold knucklehead. And then, you know, after I decided to change my life, it wasn't like, hey, he's no longer the person that he was. I was always remembered as the things that I'd done. You know what I mean? And that black cloud followed me, and it still follows me.
All I ask, if you're going to use something like that, I don't want to address the merits of it, but I want you to put the case out there. If you're going to use it, put the case out there the way it is. You know, the way that you left it is that he's a rape artist, he's this, that, and the other. But you didn't talk about that, you know, the case was dismissed and they, you know, took a play and did this and that. No, you didn't talk about none of that. All you want is just a whole negative thing. You didn't put anything negative on the government for what they were doing.
Exactly. Especially with, you know, what's going on in today's world with, you know, black men in the judicial system and things like that. Of course they left it out.
Yeah, that ain't nothing new though, bro. We've been going through this forever.
Dick, do you think this guy that did this so-called documentary bitching, do you think he was out trying to make his name look good in the industry?
Yeah, I think he was out to just make some money, you know, and they didn't care about what was facts or what wasn't facts. They just exaggerated so many things. And what really I thought was just uncalled for, when you start talking about a financial situation and taking advantage of people, I mean, you know, they didn't bring up the fact that at one point, he had his own music, he had the Mary Jane girls, he had Process and the D-Rags, Eddie Murphy had a top single, probably the best selling serious single he ever did. I mean,
Party
there
all
was
the time.
So much
man.
Out
Party
there.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There was so much out there during this period of time And supposedly he wasn't making any money and he wasn't taking care of people. That was not the case. You know, the band members didn't only perform with Rick. They performed with the Mary Jane Girls. Well, you know, so there was more work for them, not less work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Roy, because your sister was involved in management because she managed the Mary Jane Girls, correct?
No, she managed Tina Marie.
Oh, Tina Marie. That's right. Tina Marie. That's right.
Yeah.
And in the part of, you know, the documentary they had, you know, they started going in on her life and, you know, how he, you know, ruined her as well, too. So, yeah.
You know, the fact of the matter is that Rick helped Tina's career, but at the end, Tina helped Rick. But they won't talk about that because they don't know. They don't know. And they didn't talk to my sister because she takes the same position as I do, that if I don't have some control over the narrative, then I'm not going to be involved. And she said she's not going to be involved if I'm not involved, and I'm not going to be involved unless she's involved. So you're not getting a true thing about Tina, and you're not getting a true thing about a true story about Rick. You know, I could go into some details about each one of them. Each one of those band members, I could go give you some details that would slam each one of them down, you know. But I'm not into doing that. But there's as much dirt on them as there is on that they've created on Vic.
Yeah, because it was kind of like, you know, very disrespectful. In my opinion, very disrespectful. One-sided, and I think these guys got paid off to say what they said. You know, negativity was mainly, you know, they were everything was negative, 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 negative. They didn't say anything.
We'll continue to gripe, and you know, they've done it for the last 15 years. You know, I disconnected most of them from my life. And I had a conversation with him, and I told him, I said, let me tell you something. You guys are so negative on Rick. Take Rick out of your life. Take Rick out of your life, and you don't even have a life. You have nothing to talk about. What you're doing is being very about somebody who did a hell of a lot for you.
But if you're good as you say you're good, you should have went and got, you know, hired with someone else and backed them up as well. Playing in the band, things like that. Yeah, evidently you wasn't as good as you say you are. That's my opinion. Yeah.
Well, you know, there was Kenny Hawkins who played with us. He's played with Taylor Swift and all kinds of groups. And our engineer went ahead and was heavily involved in Avatar, Fast and the Furious. He does the Face the Nation in the Morning and all that. And he was an intern in our organization. Came in as an intern and said, I'll do this for free. Wayne Sharp. Okay, and now he's one of the best, biggest, in movies. He took us, and then he went with James Cameron with the Avatar, and he went with the Goo Goo Dolls and that, you know. But, you know, he didn't need us. He just got us and just took those steps and used what he had. Just took and will never say anything negative about Rick. But you're getting all this negative. You get these great things from Bootsy Collins
Ice Cube,
and now Rogers and Big Daddy Kane and all of that. And then you look at Rick's band, and there's like, you know, negative gripes that they're talking about. You know, I mean that bothers me. You know, but that's who they are.
For them to get paid what they got paid and everything, I mean, shoot, even getting paid with not even performing, man, I'd had a big old house on the hill.
Who does
with
that?
A couple of bottles of Boone's Farm, drinking that on the
paid retainers. What group do you out there pays retainers while you're not working?
Wow, that's crazy. So, Dick, you wrote a lot of checks over your time and career with those guys, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had a payroll service. It was really professionally run. You know, one of the things that I insisted on was I would never write any checks. Leroy's sister, Camille, actually wrote the checks. And as I said, we had a payroll service. So we had very good controls and checks and balances in the organization. This, you know, wasn't just a one-person operation. It was an entire team that was trying to make sure that things were handled properly and professionally.
Yeah, because one thing that came to my mind, if he, you know, was bad with money, the IRS would have been on y'all's ass real quick.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah, IRS would have been on y'all ass, and I know that they were checking to make sure that his, you know, accounts were right and this and that, so to keep from, you know, wanting to jump on him. I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was always on top of those things because he didn't want to, you know, end up having a problem with the government.
See? Wow. It's crazy. At the end of the day, Roy, who was Rick James at the end of the day? Who was Rick James?
Rick James was an artist, man, and he was a consummate artist. You know, he worked hard, but you know there's the problems that come along with that. Cause, I mean, it's very difficult to carry a bunch of people and have them all satisfied. You know, and after a while, there's a lot of stress on you because everybody's coming to you. They're wondering why they're not Rick James. You know, and I can tell you why you're not, because you're not Rick James. That's as simple as that. You know. Rick was a very talented, like one of the once in a lifetime. We were fortunate to have at the same time a Rick, a Michael Jackson, and a Prince happening at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, three bigger-than-life entertainers. I mean, that was a whole different era than it is now. You know, and I'll tell you something. When we were out there, walked into the room, I don't care if Prince was there or Michael Jackson was there, everybody went to Rick. And I know because I went to Studio 54, the Palladium, the Didicus, you know, you name it. MK's in L.A., El Privado, Carlos and Charlie's, even Prince's Club. I don't care if Eddie Murphy was with them or Mike Tyson was with them. Everybody went to Rick because there was that aura around Rick. You know, it's bigger than just the music.
Right. Dick, same question. Who was Rick James?
Well, you know, I it's an interesting question because I always think of it this way. You know, the public image was Rick James, but if you sat down with him and you spent time with him, it was really James Johnson Jr. He had two different personalities. And, you know, what people don't realize, he was extremely well-read. The music he listened to was not always pop music. It was classical. It relaxed him. I used to bring my two daughters over when they were young, and he would play with them, and you know, they just had a great time. And that was really, to me, what I remember most. You know, the human being that he was, the kindness, and, you know, how he treated people. And his dedication to Buffalo and what he wanted to give back to Buffalo. So those were my memories of Rick.
And, Leroy, who was responsible because they didn't tell the story in bitching about who was the one responsible for finding his kids?
Well, basically, I did. I mean, I pushed Rick because it's not like our family not to have your children involved some kind of way. You know, so he said, go get them. So, you know, I hired an investigator and went and got them. You know, I just happen to have a good friend out in L.A. He's just one of the best investigators in the world. I mean, he could find a dime on a piece of sand on the moon. You know, he would just tell him to go find it, and he finds it. You know, so I mean, in no time he found him, and I went to the school. I remember I went to the school and waited for them to come out. You know, introduce myself, and then from then I made arrangements for them to fly to Buffalo. You never hear that story though. You won't hear that.
No,
you hear about
that was.
Yeah, you'll hear about the investigation. You won't hear that.
Yeah, because that was in bitching. You know, the investigator came and found them and brought them to their dad. Yeah, it was never mentioned. You was behind it, and, you know, Rick was the one that told you, you know, you go do it, you know, if you want to, and things like that. So, yeah, at the end of the day, Roy, what is – How did the people around you feel about, you know, your sister and, you know, family members? How did they feel about this last documentary?
Well, there's only not many of us left. I talked to my brother. He hadn't seen it. So, and I just reminded him of that. You know, you have to really understand that they're using you to give credibility to something. And if we as a family don't have creative control over that, then they're going to continue these things. I mean, it's better to be outside of it. I was once told by one of the producers that if you don't go with our narrative, we will create our own truth. And I told him, I said, you can do that, but it won't be true, and you won't have me in it. I talked to my sister. She feels the same, very much the same way. She hasn't even watched it. You know, the only reason I watched it, because I know I was going to be on this program, and I didn't want to come on the program talking about something I didn't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So I did watch. I've watched it. So, and I watched it with another good friend of mine. So, you know, and then I called you, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, and I want your opinion. You know, my opinion is one opinion, but, you know, I want your opinion of it.
My opinion of it is very, it wasn't put together to me as a documentary that I would have done. I would have waited and got all facts before you put something together. I think this guy that did this wanted a name for himself in the industry. And what person to go after and do it on would, you know, would be somebody like Rick James, just because. And if it was me, I would have probably, you know, if it was my brother, when I seen him, I would have probably punched him in his mouth, you know, just because, you know, I wouldn't, and then I have family members such as, you know, brothers and their, degrading, you know, his very own brother too is very disrespectful. I wouldn't even have called it, you know, I told you that's not even a documentary. It's just a mini story, someone trying to get their name in the industry and trying to be someone that they're not. Yeah, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that it should be illegal that someone can take and tell your story and not a true account, and they can make money off of it. I mean, everybody, a lot of people can make money off of it. I think that should be illegal. Mm-hmm.
So anybody can get their own narrative, but the question is who's going to step up and do this so-called fact-checking?
Exactly.
I'm not gonna let this go because I did not, you know, I listened to this Kerry Gordy stuff and this Levi Ruffin stuff and these other band members stuff. Enough
of
that.
Yeah, because I told you, I said, who the hell is Kerry Gordy? I called you, remember? I called you back. I said, who the hell is Kerry Gordy? You know what I'm saying? Who's this cat? You know, I didn't even know it was a Kerry Gordy. You know, all I knew was Barry and the other daughter. Yeah, I didn't know it was a damn Kerry. That threw me right there. I said, who the hell is he? Yeah. And then the animation part of the you know, of the program was all, it was very disrespectful as well too.
Disrespect, hacky, and not even a good
answer. Not at all.
Well,
go ahead, Debo.
I got a little experience with videos. I got experience with editing. If you want to, I'll volunteer my services where we can go ahead and do something and rebuttal it. I offer that, and I don't want nothing for doing it.
Well, I'd be there. I mean, I think this is the rebuttal right here, because I know a lot of people are listening, and I hope you can take some questions on this so that we can
anybody that wants to call in, you guys can call in, because I know we got a lot of people online listening. Anybody that want to call in, the number to call in is 516-453-9110, and hit 1 on your keypad, and make sure you be respectful of your questions when you do call in, if anybody's going to call in. That's 516-453-9110. And
don't be happy and ask for an interview either.
Yeah. Yeah, so anybody wants to do this. Mr. Dick, anybody out there in the industry world trying to make it as an artist, what are the key things they need to do to make their brand a corporation or a company? What are the key things they need to do?
I think the first step is to find a good entertainment lawyer that can make sure that the artist is protected, because it all starts with the contract, and the record companies, you know, they don't want to take a chance of losing any money. So you have to have, you know, a good contract that's going to protect the artist. And then they need a good financial advisor, you know, someone that can make sure that they file their taxes, that someone is looking over their expenses, and that, you know, they keep their affairs in order. You know, what I would always stay away from is a one-house shopping place where the manager controls the lawyer, the accountant, the investment, and you don't have any checks and balances. So that's what I would strongly suggest.
And how long you been in the game, Mr. Dick, again?
Well, I've been practicing in over 50 years, so I've been around a while.
Okay. I see some numbers popping up. If you guys want to say something, hit 1 on your keypad, and that'll get you over into queue, and we can get you guys on to ask some questions if you have any questions you want to ask anybody. Okay, we got a 404. That's Georgia. Let's get you over. Well, welcome to the show. Hello?
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Who are we talking to?
My name is Aaron Dublin. I was a road manager for Rick James, and personal friend and bodyguard, and you name it, I did it.
All right, welcome to the show. Anything you want to add on this? Yeah, same to you. Anything you want to add, sir?
I just concur with everything that Roy and Dick said. It was 100% correct. Rick treated those guys like family. He took care of everybody. He took care of me, took care of my family. Changed my life in ways I could never even possibly describe. And I just find it blasphemous, you know, that after all he did for these people, because I know I was there, you know, and after all he did for them, you know, how ungrateful and thankless that they are.
So you were never, as they say, you were never involved in the orgies and, you know, the cocaine parties and stuff, huh?
No comment.
All right.
No comment. All right. But anyway, getting back to what I was trying to say, Rick paid everybody extremely well. You know, in fact, you know, I was part of the payroll. I paid everybody every week. People got paid well. They got paid on time. People got bonuses. You know, every you know, we were living great. It was a great life.
Wow.
Well, there you heard it.
There it is right there.
You know, I mean, Aaron and I have been friends for before he was with Rick. And so were some of the other guys with the group. So
let me ask you this. Who was Rick James to you?
Well, kind of like what Dick said. They're two different people. There was Rick James, the showman, the stage master, the concert extraordinaire, and then there's James A. Johnson Jr. You know, I knew both of them. James A. Johnson Jr. was just a regular guy. The guy's like, people don't realize, the guy's not just a musical genius. The guy's like a Rhodes Scholar. That guy, he knows everything from classical music, classical books, art, connoisseur of wine, you name it. He knew it. I learned a lot from him, not just about the music. I learned a lot of, you know, a lot. He's like a mentor to me. He's a big brother. He's like the big brother I never had. And he just taught me a lot about life.
Wow. Well, guys, there it is. Go ahead, Roy.
No, you know, I mean, I live with him as a brother, so I have a different perspective, you know, and everything that Dick and him said is true, you know. I mean, there's a really real sensitive part of Rick. When Rick would come and lay across the bed and hold your hand, that kind of thing. And he loved kids, but you're not going to hear any of that. You're not going to hear him going up to all-girls school and just say hello. Or you're not going to hear about him with a scholarship fund at Howard University or a scholarship fund at Canisius College. You're not going to hear none of that, you know, because that doesn't fall within the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You know, it's a part of Rick that you're not going to get unless you talk to people like us.
Right.
And I don't have anything to be mad with Rick about. You know, I'm not trying to be Rick. I have enough problems trying to be Uncle Roy.
Well, we love you, Uncle Roy. Yeah. So maybe, you know, Roy and Dick, maybe we need to follow up a real documentary on the real life of Rick, the father, the entertainer, and really set aside who he really was in the entertainment world and as, you know, a father, a brother, an uncle. And a grandfather as well, too. Maybe people would get a better perspective and, you know, the people that really knew Rick, instead of bringing on negative band members that are still salty with him after, you know, 16, 20 years. The man has been dead for 16 years and you still salty with the man. That's just crazy because your life didn't go the way that you wanted it, you blaming someone else for your, you know, for your falls and can't get up. So maybe that's what's needed. Maybe that's a good idea what DJ Debo said, Roy. Maybe that's something that's needed. Get everybody together.
Well, we can get together on it. I mean, you know, we're all together. This is a little family here with us.
Yes, sir. And sit down with people that are going to really, really, be, you know, be positive. You know, Hollywood scene, you know, some of the big stars and stuff that you know, that knew Rick from being the big entertainer, you know, things like that. And some of the Mary Jane girls that really appreciated Rick and what he did for their career while it lasted as well, too. So, yeah, I think that's something we can sit down and put together.
I'm with you.
All right. So anybody else, you know, anybody else that want to get in, 516-453-9110 to hit 1 on your keypad. We got like 10 minutes left in the show before we end it. Anybody else? I don't even know if anybody is anybody chatting online, Robin? Is nobody online? Is it chatting, saying anything, is it?
I haven't had any feedback, not yet.
Okay. So I guess everybody's just mainly listening. So we have the ability now, Roy, and Dick, we have the ability now to, you know, when we do it, we have the ability now to stream it just as big as, you know, these people on Unsung and stuff. Now we have the ability to do it worldwide with streaming now, you know, Roku and Fire Stick and Apple TV and you know, Spotify and other streaming audio as well, on where it can really get out and tell the truth. Netflix and WeTV, things like that, people that we know over there as well too. So, you know, we'll have to sit down and meet Roy and, put a game plan together and get all the key people that are willing to do this and tell the better story, you know, the better people that really knew him for, you know, being the kind-hearted person he was, instead of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll kidnapper and abuser and things like that. You know, everybody's done bad in their life, but, you know, this man, the way they talk about him, he was like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type person in the industry. So this is something that we can do to help, you know, the family as well. Yeah. Besides, it gave me a chance to get to Buffalo. I've never been to Buffalo, so we're going to have to do this when it's warm, because I'm not trying to go up there when it's cold.
Well, this is the place to be right now, because everywhere else it's hot. And it's hot here, but we have a nice lake breeze, and everything is green and beautiful. You know, today it was 86.
Yeah. We had 105 up here in Seattle.
They're
setting records in Seattle.
Yeah,
I'm not happy about that at all.
Yeah, Najee brung that heat after his concert.
he fired it up out there, you know. He's
hell
up there.
Yeah.
He turned it up and let the heat, man. Smoking. Mm-hmm.
and Roy, how long you've been in? You've been a lawyer for how long now?
Let me see. Oh, boy. I think it's 40.
Back when Jesus walked, right? Jesus walked there as he was a lawyer then.
I think he was born something.
You ever see Sasquatch?
I was like 13 when I got out of law school, though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we don't like to
talk
about it.
You ever seen Sasquatch?
And how long you been a accountant there, Mr. Dick?
I've been in practice over 50 years.
Wow. So that's almost 100 years right there of advice.
So
you're adding
the two of them up?
Yeah, I'm adding the two of them up right there. And then, you know, the bodyguard, I put his, you know, his years in there too.
Oh, then you got 150 years.
150 years right there of knowledge. Yeah.
He likes to go to Cuba. He loves Cuba.
Yeah, in fact, I'd be there now. I couldn't get – all the flights are canceled, so I have to get there to Nassau. So my next flight to Nassau is on July 19th. But other than that, I'd be there right now.
So you fight – what are you – were you MMA or a boxer?
Oh, no, neither. I'm a retired police officer.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, again, man, thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you for being a part of the show.
Yeah.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you. And Roy, thank you, man, for reaching out to us and having this discussion. It's always a pleasure and an honor to have you on.
Thank you.
As always. Yeah.
Yeah, if you come to Buffalo, we'll take you out for chicken wings.
Okay.
Oh, and
yeah.
Pizza.
And pizza, yeah.
Pizza.
Oh, yeah. All right. I'm going to be up there. You can believe that. But like I said, it won't be when it's cold.
Well, we only have 2 seasons up here. We got winter and July. So, you know, you got the month of July to come up.
Well, that's when it'll be, July. We're getting this together, map it out and everything, and put it together. And then when we lay it out, we'll smack everybody in the face. We ain't going to anticipate on, and we're going to have a bigger and better audience that, you know, people that really knew, you know, who he really was and everything, and do more.
Talk to them. Talk to the people about what they feel about
yeah.
Rick.
All right. All right. Well, on behalf of the Hilltop Radio Show, I want to thank everybody for listening, everybody for being a part of the show. DJ Debo, anything you want to say real quick?
I was fighting with the mute button. I just want to say is Brother Leroy, Uncle Leroy, whatever we can do to rectify this, I'm all in with you. I'm all in because the truth got to be told,
mm-hmm.
and it's got to be proven. It's got to be proven because Rick was a legend, man, and we can't keep allowing people to be doing this to our legends. Look at what they do to Michael Jackson. Look at what they did. They even tried to vilify Prince. Now, these is legends, and come on, man. What, they're no longer with us, but their music is still with us, and all we got left is the memories of them. So how we can't let these people tarnish the memories that we have of our legends?
Amen.
I wish, whatever we got to do.
Amen.
That's right. Robin Lennon, Maven, Vibes Live Radio, Seattle, Washington. What do you got to say?
I just want to say thank you so much for hooking us up with Najee in Seattle. I had a great time, and I'm just so grateful to you and very, very grateful to you for coming forward and sharing with us, you know, about your experience with your brother and with your wonderful self, too, because you're pretty awesome. You're an artist yourself, so, and I want to buy a piece of your work. I want one of your works hanging up on my wall.
Yeah, Roy, when is your art exhibit? You still doing that? Is that still a plan?
Well, you know, I can't go to London. There's one going on in London that starts 30th, but London is shut down for me because Americans can't go over there unless we're quarantined for 14 days. But then the next major one is going to be here in Buffalo in 2022, though, November 2022.
And you're putting that on yourself, correct?
Oh, no. It's by the Birchfield.
Okay.
Solo show, though. Yes.
Okay,
I'll try my best to make that.
And when is the anticipated album, Loose Ends? When is their anticipating album to drop?
August. It's supposed to drop in August.
Right.
They've got stations that are playing the single right now, just demoing it.
Okay. All right. We need to get that demo. If you can get that demo over to me, we'll start playing it here on the streaming shows. Buzz Live, I Am Streaming, and DJ Sean Live 24/7. We'll get it on there.
Okay.
Start getting it out there. Mr. Dick, thank you, sir. It's been an honor and a
pleasure
to meet you, and be an honor and a pleasure to meet you, you know, when we get this documentary going. And the bodyguard, what was your name again? I'm sorry, sir. I'm bad with names.
Aaron.
It's Aaron
Dublin.
Okay.
Aaron. How's your brother?
Excuse me?
How's your brother, Aaron?
Oh, he's doing real good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, give him a shout.
I'll definitely do that.
All right. Good night, everyone.
All right. Night, sir.
Night.
Right. All right, you guys. This has been another exciting show, the Hilltop Radio Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure you guys tune in. Next week, we got another jazz session with Mr. Nate Mitchell. Will be with us live here on the Hilltop Radio Show. And don't forget, every fourth Monday, we're going to be a listening party with some of the greats, such as Roy will be back with us listening to some talented artists as well, like you do your thing, because you're 13 for 13. So we, you know, we keep that written down, etched in stone.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So we appreciate you, my brother, and I'll be talking to you tomorrow, and then we'll put everything together. You guys, everybody have a good night.
Thank
Sleep
you.
Tight. Peace, love, and hair grease.
The champ is here. The champ is here.
This is Sean Haynes. You are now tuned in to the Hilltop Radio Show. Love is love.
Yes, indeed, baby. You are now tuned in to DJ Sean on the HILL Top Radio Show. Well, there he is. Hilltop, brother.
Shut your mouth.
What? I was only talking about the baddest radio station on the land, you hear me? Oh. Well, what that is?
Hilltop.